Yeah, I'm pumped. And yeah, the four debutants of the Opals, I'm like, the fact that this team is just so young and it's going to give so much opportunity, it's really exciting, and they can show what they can do to hopefully, I don't know, 7,500 fans.
Absolutely. Welcome to Shooting the Breeze, and we are live from the Adelaide Entertainment Centre. We're a bit before the game, you can tell from all the echoing. And I've got joining me here today, Kerry Waller from here in Adelaide. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of things around the Trans-Tasman Throwdown. Hopefully we'll have a special guest joining us as well. But Kerry, it's great to have you here. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, it's actually great to have you here in my hometown. But yeah, thank you so much for having me.
It's going to be a big event. It's the first time we've had an event like this in Adelaide for a long time. You were saying
1999. Yeah,
1999.
So in the lead up to the Sydney Olympics.
Wow. So, you know, it's great being able to see that events like this are coming to Adelaide. It's helping to build up basketball, I suppose, within the city, because there's been a lot of, I mean, the reality is there's issues at the moment with the Adelaide Lightning, and hopefully an event like this will help to bring focus back on basketball, women's basketball specifically, and get people to realise and remember that it is a great sport, great game. We've got great athletes who hit the floor.
Yeah.
And this will help a city, you know, try and get behind the efforts to get the team sorted out for the upcoming WNBL season.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you. I think we're all trying to focus on the positives, and those are all the positive things about the timing of this series. And yeah, I think, you know, I've shared previously, like, I was so excited as soon as the game, you know, was announced that it was going to be in Adelaide. So I bought my front row tickets, and, you know, being here with you guys with a media accreditation is like, I would never have expected that. So it's a bit of a pinch me moment. And again, just showing the opportunities that this game gives everyone. And you don't have to be on the court. There's so many other ways to participate.
Sure.
And obviously events like this give our Adelaide base and everyone, you know, an opportunity to be seen at an international level.
And I'm curious, like, from the point of view of somebody who lives in Adelaide, and, you know, not just that, you've lived in many cities and you've been around basketball for a long time. How special is it having an event like this here in your city?
Yeah, it's so special. It's so special. And everyone is so excited. There's really good hype. And again, the opportunities that come from that is not only for the people that are here, but I think I mentioned to you, like, I saw Nathan Strempel, who's originally from Adelaide, walking down the mall, and he's here, and there's people flying in from interstate and from country South Australia. And it's a big thing. I think the vibe here tonight will be one of celebration, and it'll just be really great to see everyone together.
Yeah, we were talking earlier, you said that there's people coming in from Mount Gambier. And I know years ago for work, I had to go out to Mount Gambier, and it's actually a little bit of, even though it's close by, it's a bit of a trek.
It's closer to Melbourne than it is to Adelaide.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it's still a bit of a trek to get here. So I suppose that's a great illustration of how important a game like this is for the city and for basketball fans in the city.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it is a really exciting time. So the person that I mentioned that's coming from Mount Gambier was actually, you know, a high-level ABA back in the day championship-winning coach. And it's that community thing about people that are coming in and everyone that'll be here, and it gives an opportunity for everyone to reconnect as well. And I think that's the part that gets lost sometimes, is that we really are a big basketball family, not just in Adelaide, in South Australia, but in the whole of Australia.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, we were here earlier today having a look at the Tall Ferns practice, and, you know, the number of faces that you could see there that have been, you know, WNBL, NBL one. Mm-hmm. You look at the talent that you're seeing there, and, I mean, it's a young team, and even still, such a young team, you've got NBL one, WNBL players. It says a lot about the acceptance of basketball in New Zealand, and the fact that the New Zealand players are actually making steps, you know, huge steps forward. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how such a young team, because we were talking earlier, you said there was how many new
eight debutantes.
Eight debutantes, yep. That's right. Because when we were talking with Maya Williamson and Lyndon Moore just a couple of weeks ago, Maya wasn't 100% sure what the number of new tall ferns was going to be. But watching them on the floor, you can see that they were I mean, look, they're obviously a little bit nervous because it's, and for a lot of them, it's their first time representing their country. It's a big stage. It's on TV, you know, going up against the Opals. Mm-hmm. But that being said, we've got a relatively young Opals team as well.
Yeah, that's right. And I think who touched on it yesterday? I think it was Sarah. Sarah. She touched on that they are a young squad. And she's, you know, she's one of the vets and she was sort of giving her experience and just at one stage found herself saying, come on, let's just slow things down. Let's just relax. The Opals are a younger squad as well.
And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this younger squad is going to gel. You know, it's their first time together at an international and obviously, you know, Sandy's in New York getting ready for the WNBA season. So we've got Gorry is going to be who's the head coach for tonight and for the rest of the series. It'll be interesting to see what he tries out. And obviously, I'm sure he and Sandy have been talking a lot about.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what they try in terms of rotations.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of direction coming from Sandy. You know, you had that awesome pod with her a month or so ago now. She obviously has a plan and a vision.
Yeah.
And I think that is obviously she trusts her coaching staff explicitly, but there is, they're rolling out the plan.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, and you mentioned that pod. It was interesting because she said specifically around Sarah that it's the fittest she's ever seen her, which, I mean, you know, you hear comments like that made all the time, but coming from somebody with the standards that Sandy has, mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest, she's helped the Opals turn around and become what they are, you know, back to the medal-winning ways of the Opals. Building up the character of the team, the culture of the team, and obviously, you know, coming off the back of a championship win in the WNBA for New York, their first basketball championship since the Knicks did it back in the so far long ago. We don't really talk about it. You know, it's somebody who demands a lot from the players. So hearing that sort of praise coming from her is pretty special.
Yeah, and Sarah actually mentioned and gave a shout out to the Victorian Institute of Sport who have been, that's where she's been able to do her rehab, and she said she's just been so well supported every step of the way. So I think they've had a lot to do with that, and obviously her commitment to her rehab is, you know, a testament as well.
Oh, for sure. And you know, let's just take a second to talk about the road that Sarah's had to follow to get here. I mean, significant injury. Oh, there we go. that sound that you can hear in the background is the audio checks in the stadium. You know, so, but you know, she's had a lot to get through. I'd like to talk about that for a little bit. You know, from your perspective, how do you see all that? Because, you know, you've played, you understand. So I'd love to hear your perspective on it.
Yeah, I guess from my perspective, I was never at that level, but also I was lucky enough to never have that significant of an injury. But I guess my insight came from yesterday being at that press conference after training and having the opportunity to ask that question of her, of, you know, on reflection, did you, you know, anyway through your rehab, did you even think that wearing green and the gold would be possible?
Yeah.
And she obviously had quite an emotional response to that, which,
as a matter of fact, let's play that clip because we've got it. And it was a great piece that you got there from her. I'm just going to play that now.
Honestly, not at all. I didn't even know if I was going to be able to play basketball again. So it is quite emotional. Oh my God, I feel like I'm going to cry. Oh my God, what? sorry. I'm just excited now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to make you cry.
Oh, my God. I've never done this. Okay. No, it is cool. Like, I personally didn't know if I was going to be able to play basketball again. So, for me, just to... With the surgery, quality of life was huge and very important. And so I got that back. And then to be able to do all my rehab and recovery at the Victorian Institute of Sport, I'm so well looked after there. And it's just, I guess, given me all this hope and belief that I can still play. And then getting this opportunity again was huge. I've never been more excited in my life.
Yeah.
To get the call up to be back in the Oz team. I didn't think this was going to happen. I didn't even know if, like I said, I was going to play basketball again. So just to be able to do what I love is I'm so grateful for. No expectations on myself at all. Just happy to be here.
Okay, that was a really, you know, kind of raw and emotional response from Sarah in relation to being called up again for the Opals.
Yeah.
Were you surprised at the way she reacted to that?
Yeah, and I think she was surprised too. I don't think she expected that, and she apologized. But I think the thing that really tugged it at my heartstrings was that, you know, she mentioned the quality of life. So that surgery wasn't to get back on the court and play basketball. Mm. Like, her injury was so significant that she wasn't. She wasn't leading a normal life. She was in that much pain. I just got chills then just saying it. Like, it's just phenomenal, phenomenal.
Okay. Now, we were saying that we may have a special guest, and our special guest is here, Laura Hodges. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back. It's been a while.
It has been a while, but what a day in Adelaide and for Basketball Australia and all the South Australians to witness the Opals back playing here. And it's been over 25 years since they've done that. And I was part of the Opals for 17 years. I had camps in Adelaide, but never got to play in Adelaide. So it is pretty special for the community and, in South Australia, because South Australians, they love basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be honest, when I heard it was 1999 that they last played here, I was really shocked. I would have thought for sure they would have been playing, they would have played in Adelaide, you know, after that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy to think back to, I was at that game. I was a baby at that time, and I would have been 14 years old and not quite 15. And so I remember being at the Titanium Arena. I don't know what it's called now. I think it's called the Adelaide 36ers Arena, whatever it's called. But it's just the kind of thing that inspires the younger generation. And I got to talk to the Opals last night and said that, like, to be in this arena, and it will be close to a sellout, and you are going to inspire so many people, and that's such a key thing. And before that, the Opals were in Adelaide in Oz 94.
Yep.
I was 10 years old and I got to go to an Opals game, and I mentioned that. The fact that being in the stands, I was very lucky. My mum got two tickets. I've got two older sisters, and I was the lucky one picked out of the hat that I got to go. I just started playing basketball and I missed out on training that night. And that's when just to be able to watch those amazing athletes, and it was a game versus Italy. They had to win by a certain amount of points to then even qualify for the next round for them to go on to Sydney to then play the quarters. And and I just remember it, them being ferocious. They were defenders. That's one of the things that I love about the Opals. You know, to be an Opal, you have to be able to defend the basketball. And if you don't do that, it's very rare that you're going to get into that side. So I just remember being in that stadium and just being so inspired. I was a netballer at the same time as a swimmer, and I just quickly went, stuff those two sports. I want to play basketball, and that's what I want to do. So I think if you don't have stories like that and to show this is what you can do for the next generation coming through, it's pretty special.
So that's a really interesting point. I'm really curious to understand, what was the reaction, particularly of the newer members of the team, to hearing stories like that? Did they kind of, is it like, wow, we're actually, it's more than just basketball?
It is. And I think the one thing, like, my message last night to to the new players is that, you know, reflect on what you've done to get here, because it's a lot of sacrifice, a lot of hard work. Thank those that helped you to get along the way, all the parents and grandparents and aunties and uncles that drop you off at training, you know, your first ever coach. I think that's the one thing that whenever something big happened in my career, you know, you think of that first coach that helped you form a layup and to be able to learn how to shoot a jump shot and all those things. I really tried to say that we've all been there. We've all been so nervous. My first ever game for the Opals was when I was 18. It was 2002.
Yeah.
I went to China and I said that I was in front of about 7,000 Chinese fans, whereas tonight you're on home soil and you're going to be in front of people that care and love you. Yeah. So just embrace it, take it all in, and you can, yeah, everyone gets so emotional about it. And of course, you're going to be nervous, you're going to be all those things, but excitement. And once you touch that basketball for the first time, all those things go away and it's just, you know, you do what you've learnt and just try and enjoy yourself.
And I want to play a clip that we got with Steph Reid. And this clip is a different perspective on the Opals. I'd like to get your perspective on this.
Yeah, I think just after last year and moving overseas and just being around a different environment, I wanted to enjoy my basketball. I think, you know, I've really taken for granted a bit how short our careers can be, and my newfound perspective is just to really enjoy the process. So, you know, this group is a bunch of my friends, and how awesome I get to play in the green and gold with my friends. Like, how I feel like that's such a privilege and an honor. So I just don't want to take anything for granted. Like, I just want to enjoy the game of basketball, and I feel like that's helping me perform a lot better because I'm a lot less stressed about it, to be honest. So yeah, just playing a bit more free and enjoying the process.
So I'm really curious about that one, because it seems like it's a really important asset to being an Opal. You know, you play with your friends, you compete against them in the WNBL, but you are friends, and then you're representing your country with your friends. What's that like? Because, you know, you've obviously experienced that.
Yeah, I had a sort of very mixed thing that my first ever team that I played in, I was more playing with my idols.
Yeah.
And because I was so young, so, you know, I was playing with Trish Fallon, Jay Kingy. So that was a really big element of wanting to learn off them, but having this, like, looking up to them and just being inspired by them and what you can take in. But I was very fortunate that one of my dear friends, she's Holly Florence now, Holly Grimer. She actually, she wasn't originally in the squad when I started training with the Opals, but then she quickly came into it and we actually got to go on that first tour together. And that was pretty cool. The fact that, you know, the two of us went to the AIS together, we're born a few days apart, same height. She's got a lot bigger arm span than me. I was the, you're supposed to have the same arm span as you do height, and mine's actually quite a lot shorter, which was always good for clothes and wearing good jumpers to fit. But with those rebounding and things like that, I missed a fraction, all those extra rebounds that I could have got. But, you know, to have her alongside you is really special, because she's the one person that you can sort of confide in, and you feel more comfortable in to have those conversations, because trying to talk to those older players, you know, you just get nervous because you just have idolized them and you grow up just wanting to be like them, and then you're playing with them. So that's intimidating. But over the time, you realize that Opals culture is, you know, you have to be united. You have to, you don't always have to be best friends, but you always have to respect each other and have that good friendship. And so along the way, you know, being able to, now I can say that, you know, Rachel Spawn's one of my really close friends. We're 16 years apart.
Yeah.
And you go through that, you know, she's your mentor, and then you just, you know, what you get to do, and you strive together doing things. And we talk about it all the time. leading up to the Athens Olympics. No one ever really knows what we had to go through to make that team. And if you go to a place in Adelaide, it's called the Uni Loop, and we used to have to, you know, do 800 meter sprints. It was like they wanted to see how fit you were. And the two of us, we had to run together. And I always used to say, if it wasn't for her, I would have never got as fit. And she's like, well, if it wasn't for you, I would. We were chasing each other. And that's what you have to go through to be able to then make a team. And the memory shared and all the hard work and the blood, sweat and tears, it becomes an amazing bond.
Yeah, and, you know, because we hear people say the Opal sisterhood a lot, and it sounds like one of those glib throwaway lines, but to hear the way you've just described it, it's like it's not. It's real, and it's something tangible to everybody who's ever pulled on the green and gold for the Opals.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, last night, Rachel Sporn, she showed, she was there with me handing out singlets, and she showed an old video clip that was literally recorded on a camcorder of what the Opals, we didn't have social media, we did not have phones when I started, we didn't have the internet. So you had to create your own fun. And so they did this talent night where they all had to dress up in, and it was in China at the time.
Yeah.
And they're all up on stage in these crazy costumes and singing to a tune of something. And I think those bonds really, you know, they connect you. And last night we stayed around for dinner, and then afterwards it sort of brought back memories, you know, the girls hanging out, playing cards together. And it's a lot of banter. You try not to talk about too much basketball during that time, because otherwise, you know, it does get all consuming. And there's times when you have to focus on your basketball, and that's a training. But yeah, it literally is a special bond. And tonight we will, with the Players Association, we're handing out some more pendants with past Opals that, and when you get in the same room with them, and it's been some of them you might not have seen for 10 years or even longer. But it's sort of time flies, and all those memories come back, and everyone might look a little bit older, but you've still got that shared memory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Peter Ally was here earlier for Shoot Around with the Boomers, with Izakuba, and we actually just touched on before you arrived around, obviously the Boomers and the Opals culture is amazing and that community, but just touched on, you know, Paul asked me what this meant to having these games in Adelaide, and just touched on not only the South Australian basketball community, but the Australian basketball community as a whole. Like, it really is just one big family, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's a really nice thing. In the last, I think we're trying to get better at sort of remembering the past, and then, you know, merging with the present, and then obviously inspiring the next generation as well. And I think the Opals have always tried to do that, because I know that was something that they did for me, even though you couldn't sort of follow them on social media or do all that, but you try to get to a game, or you try and watch them at the Olympics or the World Cup, or that's one thing about the Australian team, it's international, so you get to see them play all different types of styles of basketball. So, yeah, it really, really is a ridiculously special community to be a part of. I've been bridesmaids in weddings. I've, you know, been lucky to, you know, travel interstate and overseas to visit, you know, the past Opals. And whenever you get together, like, you feel like you could talk for hours. And it does. The one unfortunate thing is not all of us live in the same place.
Yeah.
But then when you get together, it's a really nice thing to be a part of.
One of the things that we do want to touch on, and it's been big news over the last couple of weeks, is the ABPA and its involvement in what's been happening with the WNBL, and specifically around the CBA that's just been announced in the last couple of weeks. It's a huge, huge announcement, and it's amazing for the players. I'd love to hear from your perspective, because of your involvement with the ABPA, what this means.
So it's huge. I've sort of touched on it a little bit over the last few weeks and reflected on how important it is.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the big things for me over my journey is I feel so fortunate that I started in the WBL, and my whole WBL career where there was no minimum wage. And, I talk about the word value because a lot of female athletes that come in and they've been, all they want to do is play for a WNBL team, yeah, or, you know, try and become a professional, and then they make their first team, but then it's so expensive because they're not getting paid hardly anything. It's like they're paying to play.
Yeah.
And then they do, it becomes a grind because they're most time they're studying, then they're having to have a part-time job,
yep,
and the love of the game just really gets lost. And so there's so many athletes that I've seen that have stopped playing the game because it's just too hard.
Yeah.
And you think about those athletes, and if they were around for one or two more years, then they could have been that next level where they were probably valued more financially and what they could have done, and they could have thrived, but they actually leave the game just feeling sort of deflated, yeah, and they resent the game because their life has just been really tough.
Yeah.
So I think that's what the CBA really represents. That, and not only, I think one of the biggest things for me is the DPs. The fact that these players that are just trying to make their mark, and they are so important to a basketball team because you think of injuries, you think of really tough road trips, and they are the really integral part that keep trainings going because, yeah, people have to sit out, and they're literally, they have to have top health insurance to be able to play the game of basketball, and, yep, we all know how expensive health insurance is, and none of that was covered. So they're literally paying to be part of the best professional team in their city or, yep, their state, and it just seems so wrong to me. And so their people's mental well-being is affected by that. And I want people to love the game, to go into the game loving it. And yes, it's tough. You might have a tough season. You might have a tough game. Like, it's challenging, but when they leave the game, they should not resent it. And that's what the CBA to me is so important. And there's so many avenues to it all. But having a really good, strong CBA is only going to grow the game because they become more professional. Yeah. They can work on their craft, and then they can be the Caitlin Clarks of today because they've been able to put as much in as what, you know, their US counterparts have been able to do.
And there was, in terms of the wellness program as well, this was the one that really surprised me. Over the 4 years, it was over 150% increase across the 4 years. We spoke with Jenny Sager just last week and about what the expectation is. I'd love to hear from your perspective, and, you know, what's the ABPA's perspective on the funding for that program?
Well, it's one of the biggest keys because we all know as an athlete, if you're mentally feeling good, then you're going to put the best out on the court. And there's so many, like, I hope that there's within a club, you've got, you know, wellbeing people in clubs, you know, in an APPA, you know, with a collective, you could go and seek professional help yourself. But as long as there's access everywhere, and, you know, some people might not feel comfortable doing it at a club setting because, yep, they just feel like, you know, that might be a stigma that they don't want to do. But then coming through the APPA, they feel like it's, you know, it's slightly removed, and they can talk about certain things, and they can be put in the right directions to the correct psychologist or whatever. Or if it's just, you know, working on your career outside of the game, and like university, or if it's learning a trade or lots of different areas, you know that if you're feeling good off the court, then usually you're going to feel good on the court too. So that's a massive key, and then it goes to another level, and this is where it just needs to keep improving. Once, you know, people have retired and they're removed from the game, that they're not lost to, you know, a lot of people that, you know, you go in a transition and you're really, you know, you're down, you're sad, or you might be really happy, which is great, but to be able to have access to know that you can go and get resources to help you in that transition after leaving the game. And that's a really big key as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago we had Nat Burton and Britt Smart on, And they actually were talking about this very topic. They were talking about, you know, it'd be great if, you know, coaches and clubs could get behind your programs like this, exactly what the ABPA is doing. So it's obviously one of those issues that's really been top of mind for a lot of people. And it's always been a question of how do we make it happen rather than, you know, oh, do we, don't we need it? And it's here.
Yeah.
And it's been done. And that's fantastic.
Yeah. And there's another element to that too, because players then, you know, also encouraging to reach out and making sure that players are talking about it and saying, you know, there's access for you, because sometimes it's that tricky where knowing that, and that's where, you know, trying to look after each other in a community and getting that going and getting events where people can come together and then they can have a chat and say, yeah, I'm really struggling with this. In, you know, by retirement years, and then going, oh, well, this person can help you here, or this person, and going from there, because there's so many good things that can come off people that have retired. They can get back into coaching, or they can, you know, be mentors to current players. And,
yep.
And sometimes that's all you need to know that you still have that link in some way.
Fantastic. I'm kind of also, and I'm going to address this to both of you, and I know we've touched on it at the beginning. The Seattle Lightning. Obviously, there's a lot going on. I'm just wondering, you know, from the ABPA's perspective, how are you guys seeing this? Obviously, there's no question that the WNBL definitely would prefer to see a team in Adelaide. It must be frustrating.
Yeah, it is. I think for me, it's multi-leveled because it's, other than the Australian Institute of Sport, the only team that I ever played with in, which is kind of rare these days, players move around all the time, was the Adelaide Lightning. So it's just a part of who I am and you know, my identity, and it changed my life in so many ways. And just, you know, having really good chat with Rachel Sporn last night, and, you know, it would be devastating if I heard the words that there is no longer going to be an Adelaide Lightning. I don't know how I'd feel about that. I'm trying to, you know, not put it into, you know, anywhere in my heart right now, because as a mum of two young girls, and, you know, this year I'd go to as many Lightning games with my girls, and yes, they're very young, so I'd always sit up the back and they'd run around in the vacant, really high up in the vacant seats, and I'd try and just sit and watch and enjoy the game. But yeah, it just, I just really can't imagine it right now. So I think I hope that, and I know that the WNBL and new ownership, I'm sure they would not want to see the Adelaide Lightning no longer be in the league. I think it's a really important element to basketball in Australia.
Yep.
And the junior teams, junior state teams in South Australia for women have been really successful over the last, you know, 8 to 10 years. And there are so many good young talent that are going through the system. To think that they may not be able to have that choice, they don't have to play in their own state, but to have that choice to try and play in their own state and see that pathway, just devastating. And I do a fair bit of radio commentary for the ABC here in this arena.
Mm.
And to see the Adelaide 36ers have sellouts almost for the last 3 years, and this stadium is absolutely rocking. You can hardly hear yourself talk sometimes. And so people are huge basketball fans, yeah, in South Australia. And if it is under a great ownership and really good guidance, and I know that with the change in the ownership and what the NBL has done for the 36ers in general, every NBL team, I shouldn't just say the 36ers, it shows that the 36ers, yes, they made the play-ins this year, but, you know, they haven't really gone deep into the finals for such a long time. But people love what they see. They love seeing their fans. There's jerseys everywhere. So I know that the Adelaide Lightning can be really, really successful. And I know that, but it's about the exposure. It needs to be exposed because we have great teams in the last few years. And yeah, like Kerry's just mentioned, like showed me, it's about investing in a team. It's about, they have to be seen for people to know what they're about. And the last few years, the caliber of players that the Adelaide Lightning have had on the floor is literally insane. And the one thing that they haven't had is that support network. So you'll go to a game and yes, like when it's a close game, the stadium will be loud. And for a stadium but you could fill that stadium and they would get across the line by 10 points, 12 points, because they would have that backing where other stadiums, you know, Townsville, it's always tough to play in Townsville because they've got a rowdy, it's a smaller stadium, but it's so rowdy and they fill it. So really long-winded question, but I know that it would be it's an investment, but a super smart investment. If it is done well, you could really brand this whole Lightning and it will go flying, and it would be, you know, in 5 years' time or even 3 years' time, you will see fans flocking. So it just needs to be done right and well.
It's and I'm putting this question to both of you. It seems to me that Adelaide is – you've mentioned it, but it's a real basketball town. You kind of just I don't know how to put it, the buzz, even coming into an empty this stadium, and it's a big room, right? Let's be honest. There's a buzz when you walk in. It's like, yeah, there's something kind of special here. It makes me think that Adelaide has the ability to be able to support both teams, fill the room. Okay, even if it's half the size of this place, still fill the room for the Lightning, and from there it'll grow, you know? I mean, it's just, like you said, you need someone with vision. And I think what's happening with the WNBL at the moment, the new ownership and the direction that they want to head in, I think that there's a vision there. So I'm asking you both, how do you feel – What is the most important thing, apart from, you know, getting the word out, that needs to happen to be able to build a team profile in the city?
I think it has to be the right people in it for the right reasons. Obviously, we are in the sport is becoming a business, and this WNB new ownership are talking about sustainable financial models and all those things. But I think what Laura said is actually really key. It is an amazing opportunity right now to get in and support what could be the new Lightning or however it looks. This new team, new look team under a new league, a new ownership. I just think it's an amazing opportunity. In terms of what needs to be done, I think I don't want to go controversial because I want to stay positive, but I just think we need everyone on the same page. It's really hard. There's lots of pulling from clubs and, you know, the 36ers and I don't know. Obviously everyone has their place and they have their things that they need to do as organisations. But in general, we do all love basketball. We all want to go to basketball games. We all want to experience basketball. And I just think if we could sometimes respect each other, what everyone's trying to do, but look at it as the whole game and really support it as basketball in South Australia and not individual organisations.
Yeah, it is tricky. Like you need to all sort of be in that collective united front, because let's just say for Basketball SA, without having a WNBL team, how can they help that next generation when it's not in your own backyard to be able to have access to watch, you know, the top elite athletes every week? That can't be a good thing for Basketball SA. Like, you know, the boys will have to be able to see the 36ers to have access to that. But, you know, and that goes collective without, yeah. But one of the big things is, I think, starting and making sure it's in the right place. And I know that for me, I've played a lot of games at the arena, like where the current season was played, and you know, I've done a lot of double headers before the 36ers, and you get a really good fan base towards the end, and I've been in finals where the, you know, great number of people and it's really boisterous and really loud, but you know, some of my best ever games to be a part of was played in smaller stadiums, and I don't think it, you know, you don't want a tin shed, but to be able to have the right place for the team to grow. Mm. And then obviously the end goal is to be in an arena like we are at tonight. But to build that platform and making sure that you've got enough bums on seats and the team is feeling accessible and you've got enough room to really credit sponsors and go from there. And it has to be a whole year collective thing. And it doesn't mean that the athletes have to stay in Adelaide for that whole time, because we know it's a year-long sport. But to have that business model going for that full 12 months to build, and so that they know that, you know, the season's coming up, it's not a shock. It's like, oh, the first game was last week and you didn't know about it. Yeah. How are you supposed to then get value in that? And I know that when people go to a Lightning game, it's kind of like when I'm walking down the street and they're like, oh my God, I went to an Adelaide Lightning game. Those athletes, they're amazing. And it's like, they're shocked. And they're like, that was so good.
And we really enjoyed it. Yeah.
And the tickets weren't that expensive and like all these things. And I'm like, yeah, we'll bring more people along. But it has to be seen. And I know that growing up through my era, you had constant, like, hearing the Lightning voices on the radio and seeing, you know, banners being in the newspaper. And I know it's a difficult environment now because it's all, you know, the way people have to pay for things in the newspapers and things like that. But, it needs that investment and to be marketed so that, you know, young boys and girls can see what the Adelaide Lightning is all about and what they can bring and inspire those next generations.
Yeah. Do you remember when we wouldn't play on a Friday night if there was a Lightning or a 36ers game?
Yeah, that's one thing.
That was...
The club kids can go along, and I know that was it became a headache in itself because people are playing multiple sports and then starts clashing, and you don't want people not to be out of but there's multiple times that you still come into this stadium on a Friday night and games aren't cancelled, but it's still a sellout.
Yeah.
And so it can get to that level, but it shows what, you know, how precious it was back in the day for all the clubs and Basketball SA, and the ownership was back then when that happened, it was owned by the clubs and how it all worked. But yeah, like, it was special because you knew you could never miss a game.
Yeah. Not saying we should go back to that, but you know, like it was special. And I think we played, you might have been at the AIS, and I say we, I was a reserve, but we did like you talked about the state teams and the state program. Like, we did a pre-game game at the arena. I think it was like in 1998. I don't know, but that was a big thrill, right? Like, that was a really big experience. And there's just so many, I feel like, again, I'm not saying we go back however many years ago that was, but I think there's elements that have been lost that are really easy to do and meant so much to us. And now that we have kids, we can sort of see how important that will be to them. And just all those little things, like, you're obviously at a very high level with the ABPA and you've got, you know, you've played at a high level and you've experienced all the things. I mean, you played in the WNBA, like, you've played in the best league in the world. I mean, we're clearly the second best being the WNBA, but you know, you obviously have a very different view on it than I do. Mine's, I guess, in comparison, is quite simplistic, but that all meant so much to me. Like, I didn't get to those heights as a player, but it's still basketball affected me, and it was, you know, it means so much to me that I'm passionate enough now to want to give my time and give back to the game as well in a different capacity. So yeah, I feel like I don't want to go back in time, but I feel like there are elements that we could take from those days that don't take cost a lot of money, that don't take a lot of effort, and actually were really impactful.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so as we get into back into this, I want to actually remind all the listeners that there is two more games in this series, one on the Sunshine Coast and another one in Hamilton in New Zealand. And the whole idea of having this series move from Adelaide to the Sunshine Coast and over in New Zealand is a great idea because it's, you know, increasing the potential audience for the games. And we also want to give a really big shout out to a regular contributor and friend of the pod, Maya Williamson, who's going to be calling from the sideline at Hamilton And who we had on with yourself, Kerry, and our other New Zealand expert, Lyndon Moore, you know, talking about this series as well. And Laura, really, thanks so much for making a mad dash across from one side of the city to the other to join us. We really do appreciate it.
Everyone that says it's only 20 minutes anywhere in Adelaide, it's not true anymore. There is a lot more traffic than that. So
it used to be. It is not the case anymore, unfortunately. I totally agree with you.
Okay, guys, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time. It's been great talking to you about this amazing series. And honestly, I can't wait to watch this first game.
Yeah, I'm pumped. And yeah, the four debutants of the Opals, the fact that this team is just so young and it's going to give so much opportunity, it's really exciting, and they can show what they can do to hopefully, 7,500 fans.
Absolutely. And thanks so much for everyone's time.
Thank you.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.